All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, July 2nd of 2025. Looking ahead here, we had a five-game early MLB slate get underway already. Good luck to all of you playing that slate. Later this evening, we have a 10-game MLB main slate. We had 22 matches for Wimbledon this morning as well. And then later this evening, there is a League of Legends showdown going on too. It is Wednesday, so PGA does kick off tomorrow morning. Probably be talking some PGA here. But for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Reminder, bit of a schedule change with the holiday. This will be the last day of office hours this week, and then I will be back next week. So taking a couple extra days for the holiday here. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up. And we had a couple questions come in prior to the show, so we will start there and then see where we go from there. All right. First question today. Is there any way to lock players in a stack? So say every Philly stack has Judge plus Schwarber, and then the other people in the stack vary. Similarly, is there a way to set which players can and cannot be used outside of stacks as one-offs? Okay, good question. So you can do this. Now, it might take you a while, so it's going to depend how important this is to you. But there are ways of doing this, okay? So, like, for instance, I don't know if the Yankees are on the main slate tonight, but let's just, like, pick two other players, right? Let's say if I have a stack, maybe I want to use, like, Ohtani as, like, a one-off in place of Judge here, and then I'll pick, like, another team. And then for every Houston stack, I want to have Altuve, right? Let's just make something up. So what I would do is I would do two things. Well, I would go to my rules. I would go to group. I would change method to manual. I would change use to if. Okay. Now, what I'm going to say is if at least two, depends how big you want your stack, right? Like, what do you consider a stack? Do you consider it a two stack, a three stack, a four stack, right? Let's say you're more concerned about like four and five stacks, for instance, right? So I'm going to say, okay, if at least three, I want to say three here, I click edit players. I go to Houston. I'm just going to filter for them, go to batters. I'll just sort by order. I'm going to select everyone except Altuve. So I'm going to say, hey, if I'm going to use three players on this team that are not Altuve, then I want to make sure that the lineup has him in it. So any combination of three players, if I'm four stacking Houston, I want him in the lineup. And then now for like the Judge combo, right? Well, we're going to use Ohtani. Okay. I would also say then if I'm going to use a four stack of Houston, well, now I want Ohtani as a one-off, right, in combination here. So he's like in place of like Judge in this Schwarber Phillies example, and then I would change at least to two. So now what I'm doing is that if I'm using three players from Houston, first make it a four stack and put Altuve in it, and then use Ohtani as a one-off, okay? This would be how I would set up that rule. The other side of this question was, is there a way to set which players can and cannot be used outside of stacks as one-offs? So you're going to have to, again, do something like this. It would depend, right? It's a little bit easier when you give me like kind of a specific example, but there probably is some way to write this rule. Now, some people have like experimented with rules in the past where you could, if you have access to the detailed stats, right, which you do on like ultimate, like K's, let's move this, you know, home runs, like let's use home runs specifically. So what I could do here is set like a blanket rule. Oops, that's filter. Where I'm going to say if at least one player from a team who is a hitter has less than, let's say, 0.1 home runs on average in The Sims, then use at least, and you could decide, you know, maybe I want to say two other players from the same team, right? This could be a way of saying, hey, this is effectively a way of controlling your one-offs. Because what I'm saying here is like, I'm saying, okay, come in here, sort by home runs. And I think I'm filtered for something. I'm filtered for the Dodgers. So I'm going to filter by home runs, right? Players most likely to get home runs. And then you go down. Whoever is below the threshold I set effectively cannot be used as a one-off. They can only be used as part of a stack, right? So what I would say here is like, okay, if I'm going to use a player under 0.1, which is like what I talked about earlier, all these guys, 0.09, who are they? David Hamilton, Dominic Smith, Lenin Sosa, Carlos Narvaez, right? All these guys, if I'm going to use them, I'm going to use them in a stack only. There must be two other players from the same team. You could be really aggressive with this where you're like, hey, you know, maybe you're going to set the threshold at like 0.2, right? And then now you're getting guys like the only people that could be one-offs are like Devers, Adele, Tucker, Paredes, Riley, Olsen, right? All these other guys. So it depends how aggressive you want to be. This is a faster way where you get more kind of players at once, but you're not so easily able to pick them, right? So if you wanted to go team by team and you have opinions that way, then you'd have to continue to use the group manual rules where every time you're going, okay, you know, for the Dodgers, if at least X, you know, players from the lineup use this player, right? So that is the other way of doing it, kind of like we showed in the first example. But take it case by case. One of those two methods should get you to your destination, if not really, really close. And then you can always ask, you know, in a support channel is probably best. Like, hey, I'm trying to write this rule. I'm having trouble. You know, can you guys help me out? And sometimes users jump in and help. Shout out to the users that do that sometimes before we can get to it. But those are your options in app, and hopefully one of them serves your purpose. All right. Next question. Yesterday when discussing F1, you were talking about GeoMean. Can you explain a little more what GeoMean is? Yeah, sure. And sorry if I like jumped the gun and just like assumed people understood what that meant. So what we're doing is we're talking about ownership. Okay. When you run a build, right? And we just run a super basic build here. We're just gonna run 500 lineups real quick. And we'll let this run. And just still waiting for the build to run. Moving a little slower than I'd hope. Let's try that again. So we're in a hard refresh. Feels like it's going a little too slow. All right. Giving it a once over here. So it looks like maybe our lineups did run. Cool. So they were running in the background, and we just helped them to load. So that's great. Okay. So back to the point. When you run a build, right, there is some ownership, and I'll remove the question so we could see it. There is a some ownership of every lineup, right? It's just simply adding these values together. Well, there is another form of ownership where you multiply these numbers together, and that is called product ownership. Okay. We can actually just walk through the tutorial here. Probably a good way of explaining this. Okay. So this is like a tutorial video that we have where I kind of explain the difference. So we're talking about the difference between product ownership and some ownership, right? So let's say you have two groups of six players. You have group A and you have group B. Okay, so the ownerships for A are 40, 40, 40, 10, 10, 10. The group B ownerships are 20, 20, 20, 30, 30, 30. If you add these numbers up, they have the same sum ownership. But if you multiply the numbers together, they have different values here. So the idea here is that although they have the same sum ownership, group A's product ownership is lower because it has these 10% in here. And because it has the 10% and the lower product ownership, it's actually less likely to be duplicated in your contest. It is less likely to be played than lineup B here or group B, right? So some ownership can lead you astray a little bit, and product ownership can be a little bit more specific. Now, the problem here is that when you use product ownership, the values are very, very small, right? We're talking, you know, point. Oh, 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 6-4, right? It can kind of get a little weird with like using these numbers in the app, right? It's like, okay, did I use too many zeros or something like that, right? So how GeoMean works, it's technically geometric mean. It is a form of product ownership where it just effectively makes the number a little bit more usual, maybe people are like a little bit more familiar. You know, it is harder to use 0.00024, and it's easier to use 0.24, right? Is effectively the difference here. So what you do with GeoMean is you take the product ownership and then you take it to the power of 1 divided by the number of players in the lineup. So if it's a 6-player lineup in our example, you take it to the power of 1/6. So here, right, our 0.000064, well, when you solve the GeoMean, it actually equals 0.2. And then group B is 0.000216. And when you solve the GeoMean, it's equal to 0.24. So these become the numbers that you use in the app. You would effectively, you know, the GeoMean of the lineup would be, we display it as like a percentage, so it would be 20. We would show a GeoMean of 20. We would show a GeoMean of 24, right? That is the only difference here between like product and GeoMean, but just understand GeoMean is a form of product, and we're using it because product ownership will do a better job of estimating how many times a lineup is likely to be played in your contest. Okay. So we can actually use GeoMean to estimate the number of times we think a lineup will be played in your contest. Okay. So the way we do that is we have this formula where we have the number of dupes you're shooting for, and then you divide it by the number of entries in the contest, and then you take it to the power of one divided by the number of players in a lineup. I know this is like a little mathy here, but in this example, right, say we want lineups that are going to be duped under five times, and we're playing a 20,000 entrant contest. So then we would do 5 divided by 20,000 to the power of 1 divided by 6, because there's 6 players in a showdown contest, and then that would give us 0.25. So what I can do with this, right, and then is I can either plug it in as a rule and just be like, hey, show me lineups with geo mean no more than 25, right? This is how you would do it on starter. On ultimate, you would set up the geo mean custom metric, and then you would go to filters, and then you would say filter for lineups where geo mean is less than, and then I would input 25. And then now you're basically assuming that, okay, all the lineups I see now are going to be going to be approximately duplicated 5 times. Not perfect, but it is going to get you a lot closer than not using it. Okay, John said, doesn't it throw it off because in example one, group B is 3x, but example two, geo mean is only 1.2x. I'm not 100% following. If you want to elaborate a little bit as to how it throws it off, because group B is 3x, but example 2 geo mean is only 1.2x. 0.000064 000240. That's okay. I think we're talking about is like how one is like effectively, if you like multiply this times 3, I don't think it throws it off here. 0.20 versus 0.24 is 1.2x. I don't think that's true. If we're doing like percentages, it would be 20% increase, right? It would just be 0.2, because 10% of 0.2 is 0.02, and then you add another 10%, and that's 0.04, right? So it should just be like it should be 20% higher. So effectively what we're doing, right, is we're going, okay, 0.4 times 0.4 times 0.4 times 0.1 times 0.1 times 0.1. That's how we're arriving at this number. And then we do the same thing for group B. And then we get 0.2 times 0.2 times 0.2 times 0.3 times 0.3 times 0.3. And then that's how we arrive at this number. And then, so then we take both these numbers, right? And then we go, okay, parentheses. I don't know if I could do that. Close. Oh yeah, it did work. And we go to the power of 1 divided by 6, close parenthesis, equal. And then that's how we get the 0.2. 0.24, you could probably round the 9 to the 4, round that becomes 5. You could call it 0.25. And then we would do the same thing with the other one. So parenthesis, close parenthesis, exponent 1 divided by 6. I might have messed that up. Maybe I didn't. I'm not sure. Okay, which one was that? Hold on, hold on. Parenthesis. 0.000064. Parenthesis. Power 1 divided by 6. 0.2. That equals this one. And then we go parenthesis 0.000216, close to the power 1 divided by 6 equals 0.24. Yeah, so I messed that up somewhere, but it should be 0.2 and 0.25. So these are like the mathematical geometric means of each lineup. When you take the product ownership, multiply it together, take them both to the power of 1 over 6, and then you can apply this number, and or you apply the exponent here, and then these become the geometric means of each lineup. And then when you put in the formula in the app, you could actually add it as a metric in your bar here. So I'm going to click the gear. And then I'm going to set up my geomean one that I've created. And then I'm going to apply it. And then it will actually solve it for you. So you can actually see the geomean of every lineup that you're playing. And then I probably need to drag this out a little bit. I would be shocked if it was not far enough. Weird. Oh, there it is. Cool. So like this lineup has a geomean of 8.6, 11.26, and then it's doing that for you automatically. But to answer this one, yes, using this is a way of reducing duplication in your lineups, because you're effectively filtering out the lineups that have a higher geometric mean, and those ones typically will have more players with higher ownerships on average, and then we're getting some combination of lineups with players with high and low, with lower averages, and that is effectively helping us to be more unique with the lineups that we play compared to the other lineups in the contest. So yeah, that is effectively what is happening there. All right. Good question. Sorry if I lost anybody there. Next question. Is there an ROI or ROI standard deviation range that I should be looking for in the contest sims? What is the ideal range for ROI or ROI standard deviation I should target in pre-contest sims for my MLB DraftKings lineups? And then it looks like this question is just listed one more time. So I don't think there's an ideal range. I think it's more, unless you're backtesting this, right? Unless you're like taking these lineups and like backtesting them all and like figuring that out. I haven't heard of like any testing we've done like that. But what I do know is that typically lower standard deviation lineups tend to perform better on average. And then lineups with a higher standard deviation tend to be more boom or bust. So the higher standard deviation lineups can be a little bit more risky. You know, maybe they win three times, but they have a lower cash rate. But then maybe the lower standard deviation lineups cash a little bit more, but maybe only win once in the sims, right? So if I had to like give a suggestion, I would generally say the lower standard deviation lineups are going to be a little bit better on average, especially like a little less swingy for sure. But I don't think there's like a ideal range to target. And then one, it's going to depend, you know, on payout structure. Like every contest is going to be a little bit different, number of entries, right? So all those things come into play. I would say, you know, analyze it more like contest by contest, you know, like, okay, the standard deviations I see for this contest range from here to here, you know, what's the median of that? And then maybe like I target, you know, lineups that are like in the top 50th percentile or something like that, right? But I don't think there's like a one size fits all answer here, and you're going to have to take it contest by contest. But that's effectively what I would recommend. All right. John said, thanks. Starting to get it. May need to rewatch a few times. Yeah, no problem. Happy to walk through that one. Chris said, let's crush this, the slate 50K to first MLB Classic. We already won. I hope so. I definitely hope so. All right. Let's jump over to Discord real quick. And looks like we're caught up with questions there. So why don't we do a slate demo? I know we talked a little bit here, like post-build stuff. It is Wednesday. I do like to run some lineups for golf. So say we're building some golf lineups. If you don't see the slate, make sure to turn off show only selected date, okay? Because it'll show future dates like tomorrow. So like this one gets kicked off early tomorrow morning. All right, so building some golf lineups for tomorrow. Why don't we do a starter demo? I think we did two ultimate demos yesterday, so I want to kind of mix it up here. All right, so we're going to go to our build. And looks like it's the nice, big, normal contest here. So that's good. You know, lots and lots of golfers, so not a lot of like duplication risk or anything like that. Cool. So say I'm building 500 lineups. I'd make two small adjustments to projections, and then I wouldn't set any filters or rules right away, but I would check the weather report because there could be opportunity there to set rules. So go check out RotoGrinders free weather report. Great weather Thursday a.m. calm winds 0 to 5 miles per hour early morning, only a bit above 5 miles per hour by the late morning. Thursday p.m. winds stay very manageable, topping out just a hair above 5% or 5 miles per hour, sorry. There's a slim chance of a shower or storm, but coverage is low. Early morning winds are light on Friday a.m. Late morning winds should climb. Friday p.m. winds should reach a bit over 10 miles per hour, sustained in the afternoon, with wind gusts between 15 to 20. Not bad, but breezier than Thursday. For the weekend, Saturday, the winds crank up, especially in the afternoon. I expect Saturday winds to peak around 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Sunday is your best chance for rain, approximately 40%. Overall, first couple days look pretty great, but if you can choose between Thursday afternoon with a chance of rain or Friday afternoon with slightly higher winds, I always prefer avoiding peak winds. So while Friday's winds aren't all that bad, going with a Thursday p.m., Friday a.m. build should help you avoid the strongest gusts of the first couple days. Saturday afternoons when the winds really pick up, so the earliest golfers on the course should have an advantage to start the weekend. So pretty hard to predict who's going to be, you know, going on Saturday morning, obviously. So we're kind of stuck here, kind of analyzing Thursday, Friday. Me personally, I wouldn't read into it too much. You could follow the advice here. I don't think it's like super clear and obvious weather edge, but if you wanted to, right, say you want to go with the Thursday p.m. Friday afternoon, cool, you could totally do that, right? You go to rules, and then we go over to we set up a rule that uses tee time. So what I would do is I would say group auto use at least four whose tee time is after x, right? Because we're targeting the afternoon into the morning wave. So what I would do here is go and find the cutoff. It's usually around noon here. So that's perfect, right? There's 8:57 a.m. and then 12:05 p.m. So this rule is set up perfectly to use four golfers from the afternoon wave. This will be for Thursday. So then these golfers will go Friday morning as well. So a rule like this would help you to target that wave if you wanted to do so. I don't really want to do so, so I'm not going to. I've already made my two adjustments to projections, and I'm going to kick off this build. All right. So we're running 500 lineups here. Should run pretty fast. And we're going to cancel this contest sim. So always remember to set the Saber score, right? We're doing starter demo for whatever size contest you're playing. Maybe it's over 50K entries. Okay, I'm going to change it here. Have my average projection aggregate metric. Say I'm building 20 lineups. Sort by exposure. Scroll down to last lineup in my set here. So remember with Saber score, we want to try and stay in the top like 25 to 50% of our pool here. And I'm going to start analyzing this, right? Okay, we're taking a little stand on Siwoo Kim. We have some other stands here, you know, some double-digit leverage. I would try and flatten this out a little bit if you can. You know, if you can get to some uniqueness without sacrificing too much projection, that's great. Notice projection hasn't changed and we're at three uniques. So that tells us, hey, every lineup you're playing already has three out of six players different. That's half the golfers in our lineups. That's great. Okay, we get to four. We see a little bit of a change here. Okay, we're at lineup 27, so we're still way high in our pool. We go to five. Projection comes down about 5 points. All of a sudden, we're playing lineup 407, 269. So I would say this is a little too far, right? So four would kind of be my cap. And then from here, I could decide, okay, is there any players I want to change manually, right? Maybe I don't want a 20% leverage golfer. Okay, well, then I could just simply change Clanton, make one max exposure adjustment. And then that brings him down into like this 10 to 20% range. And I don't have anybody positive 20. And then looks like we're a little bit low on Hubbard. Maybe I want to give him a minimum exposure to control my leverage in the negative end. And then now my highest negative leverage is negative 15, right? So still low, but I'm managing my leverage a little bit. Golf is typically a sport you want to play a little bit closer to the field on. Okay to take some shots here, which we are, but playing it a little bit safer with those two mini-max exposure adjustments. So we've done some risk management. We've done some QA. We're only at lineup 41. We're still in the top 10% of our pool. And so we're valuing the rank here. I think these lineups are good. You know, I'd be ready to rock and roll. I'd be ready to save them and upload them to my contests. All right. Looks like we're caught up in office hours. Looks like we're caught up in the chats here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back next week for office hours. Happy 4th of July to everyone who celebrates. And good luck in your DFS contest. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.